This tale is the story of Luna, a 25-year-old woman who had consistently questioned the reasons for humankind's existence and wasn't satisfied with the answers she had received from the various institutions she went to for those answers. My name is Gaia. I'm a speaker and I will be your narrator for this story. Upon her questioning, many religions informed Luna that there was no explanation for our existence other than that humankind was supposed to follow the church's precepts without question. The why was of no consequence and way above our reasoning senses anyway. They said that a commandment or verbal direction was always given as a rule of personal action, teaching, and instruction, especially as an injunction about personal moral conduct. It was just a rule of conduct to be followed, or else. Luna wasn't satisfied with these answers, and she became very frustrated. The demand that she marches in step with an archaic theology, without question, didn't make any sense to her, and it offended her. Most people, hearing such nonsense, would then forget it and depart to go on their way, content to be doing something else. Luna was not the type of person to do that. She needed to know the honest answer to her questions and to determine the reason for life. There had to be at least a logical answer to that question, and Luna was determined to discover that answer. She knew she could accept an explanation based on logic, but could not tolerate ignorance. But time and its events over the following days, weeks, and months began to take their toll on her resolve. She began to forget, or at least generally ignore, the thing not in front of her at any given moment. This form of apathy is typical of most of us. However, she had one inherent characteristic that most of us do not use very much. When she was awake, she was alert to what she was seeing. And what she saw activated her consciousness to an almost sharp status. We all have this talent, but we do not use it all the time. Luna did. Because of this inborn talent and during an awake status, she discovered something that initiated this story and sent Luna on a spiritual adventure that we should all enjoy reading or hearing about. And here it is. It all started when she was walking on a beach in Florida. As usual, Luna was daydreaming, but she was also visually taking in enjoyable natural sensations, such as the light sea breeze that carried ocean scents and other beachside sensations. Luna had learned to discipline this type of multifocus while a child and was getting quite good at doing it in her mid-20s. She believed that multiple functions were inherent in the brain. Luna knew that she could also control several of these functions simultaneously. She was quite correct in this. Luna was confident in her ability to focus on multiples sharply, but still, she was startled when a voice behind her said,
"Which is better? Daydreaming or bathing in the reality of what is happening here on the beach?"
She quickly turned around and saw one of the most attractive men she had ever seen. This man was wearing blue surfer trunks and a white tank top. He had a great smile on his face that showcased beautiful white teeth, and like Luna, he was barefoot. It was several long seconds before Luna could compose herself enough to answer a question coming from this stranger. And in actuality, she wasn't sure how she should respond. But she wasn't shy when it came to doing anything, so she did reply.
"I suppose that question is an easy one. It would be better if I stayed aware of what was happening in the here and now rather than daydreaming. Doing that allowed a stranger to sneak up on me. Not a good idea, I would think."
"Perhaps, Luna, but I am not a stranger. You don't know that yet. But we are terrific friends, and I must tell you that you can do many separate things at once, and I know that you know that too."
"Now you have thrown me for a loop. How do you know my name, and if we know each other, why do I not recognize you?"
"I know your name, Luna, because I know you. You don't recognize me because you can't remember me, and you can't remember me because you haven't opened the gateway within your consciousness that keeps you from doing that. It's quite simple."
"Really? Simple? I don't think so."
"Well, let's see what we can do about that. How about walking in the surf with me, and perhaps we will become more comfortable about this meeting?"
Luna hesitated for a microsecond and then agreed. They both entered the wet sandy area where the waves were breaking on the beach and swirling around their ankles. She questioned him.
"I still don't feel comfortable, not at least knowing your name. You are still a total stranger."
"That's an easy question to answer. My name is Rashad. Does that make you feel any better?"
"I guess so, but I would have thought that Rashad was an Arabian-American name, and you don't look like an Arab. However, I like the name and love how it sounds."
Rashad smiled and said,
"Well, that is easily corrected."
And suddenly, his skin tone took on a smooth, rich tan color, and the irises in his eyes went from very blue to a rich brown. Then he spoke with a voice strongly inched with an Arabic cadence.
Is this better?
Luna replied,
I wouldn't specifically want to use the word better, but I can certainly describe the change to be beautiful. How is this possible? And why is this happening?
It is possible because both you and I wanted it to happen. We agreed to meet here before you came into this specific reincarnation. We knew that it would benefit you during this lifetime. You needed to have certain questions answered that you might have difficulty understanding. And here we are.
Oh, and where did this conversation take place? You intimated that it was before I was born. Is that correct?
Right. At least before you were born in this particular life. It is the transition realm, where all souls reside while reviewing past lives and planning future ones.
Okay, and what's the difference between a transition realm and the one we are in right now?
It's all in the definition. Where we are now is called an obstructed realm or universe, whichever dominion designation you prefer. It's called that because virtually everything within this realm has an obstruction you need to deal with in one way or another. You may have to go around it, over it, or somehow push your way through it. Coping with it goes for verbal speech as well. There are uncountable obstructed realms that souls reside in for experiencing and learning purposes. They are perfect environments to experience things in, which is the only reason for them to exist. However, when you are in a transition realm, there is no physicality and obstructions other than your thoughts. A transition realm is a complicated subject, but the primary reason you are in a transition realm is for contemplation purposes. While there, you will review past lives and challenges and determine what you did right or wrong. Other souls in the transition realm will help you in that review. And the results of the contemplations will determine your chosen purposeful life for your next reincarnation. Got it?
Maybe, but listen, Rashad, what does that have to do with me? How does that explain why you changed from a Caucasian to an Arabian? What was the reason for that?
I morphed as an act to introduce you to a different existence than the one you currently know exists. Also, it was a dramatic way to get your attention. Don't you agree?
I do. However, what was the reason I would need to have your assistance during this lifetime? Why am I so important that I warrant your help somehow?
Well, Luna, those inquiries are very complex questions, and the answers would be even more difficult to explain while we are strolling in the surf. Besides, you will automatically acquire the answers you seek once you awaken to that reality. That is what I am doing here at present. I am attempting to arouse your consciousness to a level you will need to continue your quest for spiritual growth.
So now, I am on a quest of some kind?
Indeed you are. All of us are, all of the time, but we rarely get to know it. When you reside in an obstructed realm, you are totally and continuously involved with a need to deal with the obstructions within that realm. Even meditation is something that takes a lot of effort to deal with. That's why I said I wanted to wake you up to that fact. Every soul knows this at some point. But when you are born in any specific realm, the slate was wiped clean in your baby's mind, which needs to be involved with the enormous influences it is to deal with every day.
In which case, how are we ever to put those obstructions aside, with the assault from all the physical impediments dominating you night and day?
Rashad started laughing, but then stopped and said to Luna,
I'm not making fun of what you said. It's just that it's so typical of virtually everyone to struggle when faced with that revelation. You have spent almost all of your life, or perhaps better said, lives dealing with that very question, but you hadn't wondered why we all have to face these difficulties. You just thought that that was the way it was. There is a reason for that, but I am still always surprised at how long it takes souls to understand that they can figure out why these are obstructions and determine a way to control them. You knew that when you were in the transition realm, which is why you asked for my help then. And here I am.
Now it was time for Luna to smile and stifle a laugh as she began to remember some of what Rashad was saying. He saw that this was occurring and said,
You are beginning to push against the mental gate separating you from connecting with your full spiritual consciousness. It is what I referred to as awakening, Luna. Keep concentrating on that feeling of remembrance, and the awakening will continue for you.
Luna stood in the shallow surf as it sloshed around her ankles, and little by little, she felt something strange was happening. The seawater stopped feeling less like a single element wrapping her ankles than like multiple cool fingers squeezing her legs. And yet, It was not exactly like that either. It was much different. Then she noticed that the sea breeze was similarly caressing her skin. She finally caught on that she was beginning to understand that every element she had thought of as a distinct element was composed of uncountable individual elements conducting themselves into a single activity, when required by some guiding power. Luna looked over to Rashad and told him about her discovery. He didn't give her a chance, and a message from him directly to her entered her mind telepathically.
You see how awake you can get by using a spiritual focus?
Luna was flabbergasted. She said vocally,
Is that what is happening to me? Am I waking up?
You are. And you might as well discuss this with me by telepathic means because you can now do that. Just think that you want to send me a message mentally, and it will automatically happen. Another of your spiritual gates has opened.
She did what he suggested, and it did happen. She originated a thought focused on Rashad, and he received it. She thought, How marvelous. Once again, Rashad smiled and let Luna know that the introduction stage of the meeting was now to end. He indicated to her,
I am now going to take you on a spiritual timeline tour that will serve two purposes. One is to continue the act of awakening you to your actual reality, and the next will be to take you to places that you have been to before in the timeline of your spiritual evolution.
Luna started to think about what she wanted to say next. She was wondering what a spiritual timeline was when Rashad interrupted her thoughts by saying,
The spiritual timeline is the unlimited recording of everything that has ever happened, and to every soul that it has ever happened to. All that the creative force has created, which we call supreme consciousness, is immortal and permanent. Luna, you have been created by supreme consciousness and are an immortal being in spiritual form, and everything that you have ever been, thought of, or done is immortal and permanent as well. The spiritual timeline records all of that, and you can travel within it anywhere you need to go to acquire the information you need for your soul's evolution. Do you understand that so far?
I think I do. It's a lot to absorb, Rashad, but how could I not if I am what you say I am?
You are indeed what I say you are. So now, with me as your guide, you will go to a previous incarnation relevant to what you want to accomplish in your present reincarnation on Earth. You will begin to remember what this is all about and discover what details you want when you get there. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
She thought to herself that this was crazy. What on earth, or more precisely, is happening here, and why was she going along with it so quickly? Suddenly she experienced a swooshing feeling. A loss of vision occurred for a microsecond, and she saw an entirely new scene in front of her. The seashore was gone. In its place was a jungle. It was a very dense, dark, wet rainforest type of jungle. The thought occurred to her that she shouldn't be feeling the wetness of this place. After all, wasn't she a spirit or something? She turned to face Rashad and mentally inquired of him the questions she had in her mind. Rashad provided the answer with a single statement.
You may be in spirit form, but we travel on a spiritual timeline to gain knowledge and experience. Therefore, as an observer, it is important that you feel what you would have felt if you were physically present. If you do not wish to feel those things, you tell your mind to ignore them.
Luna thought of how helpful that instruction was. She was aware she was in a solid body but realized that she was more animal-like than human-like, and now she was a male. She said to Rashad,
That's good to know because I never found heavy, damp humidity to be my thing, and I doubt that being in a spiritual male animal body will help.
Luna, you can't be both a spiritual and a body entity simultaneously.
Okay, but I can surely still have a psychological aversion to something, can't I?
As you wish.
But why are we here?
Just turn around, and you will see.
Luna turned around and saw the largest cat she had ever seen, recognizing it as a saber-toothed tiger. The saber-tooth was lunging toward her, and she knew this humanoid could do nothing more than scream. Then she was dead. The spiritual Luna just stood there with her mouth wide open. She looked down at the body of what was once her male human-eyed being torn to shreds as the saber tooth selectively pulled one piece of her flesh from another to find the preferred organs to eat. She didn't know whether to cry or scream, or both. But Rashad told her that this was when she needed to separate her emotional self and replace it with her analytical self. Everything that happened here was a learning experience, and she needed to understand that this incident was merely one tiny step in her spiritual evolution. Luna needed to involve herself in the complexities of a life ending. also of a life starting and everything that happens between those two points. Eventually, Luna calmed herself and began categorizing everything that had just happened to her humanoid self. She could separate each action that had occurred while observing it and place them into a proper perspective. A strong memory of this event in her consciousness came flooding back to her. Then the entire lifetime of this specific reincarnation was instantly remembered and became available as an essential part of this particular life analysis. Rashad told her that he had brought her to this particular event because of its simplicity of action. He asked her to notice how simple and quick this death was. She was unaware of the pain caused by the saber-tooth's attack or any discomfort stemming from her death. Rashad said this would not always be the case, as there are instances where the pain or emotional discomfort would be a critical part of the lesson. In most of her incarnations succeeding this relatively primitive one, the reincarnations are far more complex, making the experiences more meaningful. As a general spiritual rule of evolution, all reincarnations progress from the simple to the more sophisticated and are involved to educate and to challenge the soul to improve itself. Then he said,
"Let's move on to another reincarnation further upward within the spiritual timeline towards the life we met and started this adventure."
Luna experienced the same odd sensation she had felt on the first spiritual transfer and immediately saw a different scene involving many more people in an unknown civilization. Rashad told her to request, by her thoughts alone, an answer to where they were. The spiritual timeline and Akashic records would answer any requests she had. She found out that they were not on the planet Earth. This planet was in a solar system in the same Milky Way galaxy as our planet Earth. Still, it is many light years away from Earth. The Akashic record adjusted the planet's name to a Akan text Luna could understand, as the actual pronunciation would not be understandable. She understood it to be Zanbotsa, which is the best pronunciation possibility she could deal with, even in spirit form.
"The planet looked slightly like Earth, at least from where they were standing. The view was spectacular from their position on a high hill. It overlooked a lagoon that exited out of the land and into an ocean. The lush vegetation was unlike Earth, as most of the glossy green leaves on the trees and shrubbery were rounded and seemed made of leather. There were, however, many shades and tones of contrasting green colors. The trunks on the exceptionally tall trees all had multicolored vertical stripes that appeared almost neon-lit. The sun caused the sinuous striations to glow with uncountable colors. They were little like the rainbow eucalyptus trees on Earth, but far more vibrant. The sky was somewhat blue but reflected the aquamarine blue of the lagoon and ocean below. There were very typical puffy clouds just like Earth has, but here again, they were not entirely as white as Earth's and seemed to be a bit on the blue-green side, but still quite fluffy and bright. The thicker clouds appeared to have pink tones within the dense layers. They could see a city in the thick vegetation bordering the bluish-green lagoon to their left and far below them. It appeared that all of the structures were pure white and topped by various forms of bright iridescent domes. Some rooftops were silver and smooth rounded domes, but most had colossal golden spires. The building seemed to radiate similar transparent multicolor bands, just like the tree trunks in the forest. It was a truly gorgeous sight to behold."
"As beautiful as this is, Luna, we need to go down to the city to see what we are here for."
Luna nodded her okay to Rashad and immediately found that they were in a spacious reception room within a huge building. The interior walls were transparent, and the same iridescent colors were evident in the glassy surfaces, but perhaps a lot more subtle than the outside structures. The room was well lit, but Luna couldn't see any obvious source of that lighting. It seemed to be far more natural than the lights she had seen during her life on Earth. Rashad motioned to her and pointed out a large group of figures walking in through the front doors that automatically opened to provide their entry. They indeed resembled humans from Earth somewhat, but not exactly. Their legs seemed twice the length of an average human, and their arms were much smaller than human arms. Their overall frame seemed to be reminiscent of a kangaroo, but they walked far more gracefully than Luna expected they would. Their heads appeared to be comparable in overall proportional size to humans, but the facial features had a completely different structure. The small brilliant eyes were further apart, and there was no prominent protruding nose. However, there was a flap between the eyes and the lipless mouth. The flap seemed somewhat transparent and slightly undulating at a regular pace. That overlaying flap must be a filter, somewhat like a fish gill, but not quite as obvious. Their body type was familiar and didn't seem to vary much from humans. Their skin was more like the synthetic material we call faux suede, appearing to be very smooth, such as the fur you usually see on a cat's face. The fur skin coloring was different on many of them, which indicated that a racial variation would be probable. They were, on the whole, beautiful creatures, even from our human perspective. A mental request to the Akashic Record provided Luna with the knowledge that this group was a leading political faction. They were heading to an auditorium where they would speak to a large group of other Zanbotsians. The Akashic Records also told Luna that the leader of this group heading to the hall was her avatar, and she was a female in this reincarnation. Her name was Vaki, and although she was an adult, there was no way Luna would be able to ascertain her age, but as she thought about it, the Akashic Record revealed that she was a middle-aged female and that this species lived nearly 300 Earth year equivalent. Luna figured that this made Vaki about 150 Earth years old. The Akashic Record corrected Luna's calculation and said she was 157 Earth years old. Rashad and Luna followed Vaki and the other arriving Zanbotsians into the auditorium. Rashad said they could find out what this meeting was about, but it might be more meaningful to let the scenario play out for their enjoyment. Luna agreed, and they positioned themselves in the audience as an interesting entity, even though they were not observable to anyone else. They watched as Vaki walked onto a stage and approached the podium. As soon as the introductions were complete, Vaki began to talk. Luna was so amazed that she could understand every word being said. She told Rashad that the Akashic Record was a fantastic interpreter. He smiled and nodded in the affirmative. Vaki enthralled the audience, as they would often rise and stand while applauding with more frequent ovations. Luna was doing the same thing, which seemed silly to her, as she was celebrating herself, and no one but Rashad could see or hear her. The reason for this speech by Vaki had become clear to Luna and Rashad, and they became caught up in the importance of what she was saying. It became apparent that there was great turmoil within the Zanbotsian society, and Vigia was the leader of a political party that was trying to protect a form of democracy that valued the rights of every citizen equally. An autocratic segment led the other opposing political party. They quickly convinced many citizens that they should resist such ideas and go on to repress the more liberal way of thinking and replace it with a far more aggressive government. It appeared to Luna that this political divide was standard on different planets and societies everywhere. When the speech finished and everyone departed the building, Luna asked Rashid why they were there. She said that this was an excellent speech and she was impressed with her avatar, but it was hardly a good reason for this trip. He answered her,
"You are right, Luna, but our visit here is not over. Let's follow Vigia and her entourage and see where they are heading."
When Vaki descended the steps leading out of the building, two tiny figures, obviously a little boy and girl, ran to her and embraced her legs. From the body language, Luna could ascertain that they were Vakia's children. She knelt to hug both of them when shots rang out. One of the projectiles entered the smaller of the two children, a little boy, and hit Vaki in the chest. They both immediately died. Several more shots rang out, and the other of Vakia's children, a little girl and three other members of Vakia's entourage, were shot and killed. Luna was stunned as she watched this scene play out, just as she had experienced when she was killed by the saber tooth in a previous life. Luna began to calm herself and organize these events in her consciousness, including what had just happened to her avatar here in this reincarnation. Just as before, a strong memory of this event stored in her consciousness came flooding back to her. She was acutely aware of her early years growing up in Zanbotsa. There were vivid memories of her family, friends, and education, which would lead her to a successful political career. The Akashic Record gave her a clear vision of meeting her mate, falling in love, and having children. It told of all the joys and sorrows of creating a family, and now she saw this awful termination of her life. Tears, not solid but real nonetheless, came to the spiritual being that was Luna, and she looked over at Rashid and saw him standing next to her. An incredible aura of empathy radiated from him as he offered sympathy to her, which was somehow comforting. He said to Luna,
"You have had many such deaths and the accompanying crippling emotional feelings that come with such events. They are terrible, but they also serve a fundamental purpose. You must continue to study and absorb all of these experiences you are receiving from the Akashic Records. In doing so, you will find great comfort and solace in the fact that you are continuing to evolve into a higher level of spiritual maturity because of every incident. Many are terrible, but they are essential touchstones along your way to spiritual perfection. Even the grief is important because it allows you to understand the impact suffering has on others and yourself.
Rashid, I think it will be a while before I can fully accept what you are telling me and, better yet, even show me. I can appreciate that, but it is a bitter pill that you are serving me in your goal of teaching me these lessons. But I will keep trying to understand the spiritual learning process.
I know you will. However, it is now time to go to another life experience before we head back to the time of Luna, the Explorer. I want you to have a solid base to launch your vision quest during your current reincarnation on Earth.
And as before, no time seemed to pass, and no sensory movement was felt, but Luna found herself in a strange new world. But this place was far more familiar to her than the one on Zanboza. And it was a very attractive in familiarity as she found herself on a high tropical mountainside with green tropical hardwood and pine trees together. She questioned this, and the Akashic Record informed her that she was in the Central American country of Belize during the height of the Mayan Empire in AD 556. Rashid was still beside her, for which she was extremely thankful. But at least by this time, she could direct many of her questions by thought alone to the Akashic Record rather than bother him with her constant questioning. She also found out they were at a Mayan city-state in western Belize called Caracol. A war had just started between Caracol and the more prominent city-state of Tikal, in today's Guatemala. It was obvious that she and Rashid were there when Caracol had just lost this war, known as the Axe War. Rashid told Luna that they had arrived in Caracol at this time so she would have a proper time reference to the more important Star War that was going to take place in AD 562, about 4 years in the future when Caracol's leader at that time was called Lord Water. He eventually invaded Tikal and defeated Tikal's leader, Lord Wakshen Keoil, or, more simply, Lord Doublebird. The Akashic Record informed Luna that her avatar in this period was Lord Water. The Akashic Records also told her that the defeated Lord Doublebird was none other than Rashid. Luna was astounded at this information and looked over to Rashid, who shrugged and smiled back. He said,
"And this is the reason I picked this reincarnation, just to show you how what goes around comes around."
"So this is payback for me beating your ass here?"
"Something like that. But you must perform your entire due diligence on this specific reincarnation because what you did, and even more important, did not do then, had a lot of bounce back in your future lives."
"What about you? What were your repercussions for being a Mayan king fighting wars, executing enemies, and all that?"
Rashid replied,
"This particular Star War was the cause of an archaeological and epigraphical decline. It caused the Tikal mid-classic overall decline. The war also resulted in a reduction in Tikal's population, a cessation of new monuments, and the destruction of many significant existing monuments in the Great Plaza. The 120-year-long hiatus at Tikal occurred as Caracol's population and monumental construction increased, becoming more prosperous and cohesive. Tikal took on the cultural characteristics of Caracol during this time. Even with the renewed erection of monuments at Tikal, their style mimicked that of Caracol."
"Most interesting, but I still ask you what that has to do with you and me?"
"Ask the Akashic Record. It tends to get directly to the point. I don't."
Luna did and received an answer that surprised her. The defeat of Tikal was primarily because her avatar, Lord Water, was an exceptional king, general, and creator of the Caracol war machine and city-state. Rashad's avatar, Lord Doublebird, was not so great a leader. Following the war and victory over Tikal, Caracol expanded its size, power, and influence throughout the Mayan world. Lord Doublebird was beheaded following the war, and thus Tikal declined, but Caracol thrived. The Akashic Record further told Luna that she, or instead he, her avatar, had several children by several wives and ruled until he passed on the throne to the older of the sons in AD 599. He was called Nataja. His brother, Kanai, succeeded Nataja in AD 618. He became Caracol's most successful ruler, bringing tremendous power and prosperity to Caracol
and most other city-states in that area of the Mayan world. Oddly enough, the Akashic record informed Luna that Kanai was Rashad's avatar. Rashad wanted to reincarnate to this position in life to atone for his poor performance in an earlier life as Lord Doublebird, King of Tickle, and to learn to correct past failures for his soul. Luna was treated, in great detail, to a review of her incarnation as Yajat Kainichai, known as Lord Water by the Akashic record. His loves, battles, leadership, children, and all other details of an entire life were Luna's to enjoy and learn from. She was also able to share in a review of Rashad's incarnation details, as Rashad had requested that the Akashic record share that with Luna. Luna was soon satiated with all of this information, so Rashad called an end to this visit and said they had one more stop to make before returning to Luna's current life. Suddenly, Luna found that they were in a place that made no sense to her. There was no scenery, mountains, rivers, lakes, vegetation, villages, or cities. There wasn't even any air or sound. Nothing at all, but there was a sense of extreme peacefulness within this nothingness. Luna looked over to Rashad and telepathically asked,
"Why is there nothing here?"
"That's because there is everything here."
"What does that mean?"
"It means that in the absence of obstructions, such as in the various obstruction realms, there is room for everything else that is not obstructions. This is somewhat similar to the Akashic record. As there are no limits to the information stored in the Akashic record, there are no limits to what can be experienced in this transition realm because there is nothing to obstruct your focus. As you, as a soul, think it, it will be created for you. But it will be gone if it is not needed for your use. If you have no interest in something, it is not there. Easy peasy?"
"Not very easy peasy. Give me another definition for an example."
"Okay. I'll make it easy for you. What is your favorite thing, such as a house, a resort, a place to go, or anything else you can think of?"
Luna thought about this question for a second and then said,
"I like the idea of being on a lake, in a cabin while it is snowing."
And with no time that Luna was aware of, they were on a perfect large lake, not yet frozen, and they were in a beautiful log cabin with furniture to die for. A roaring fireplace radiated a comfortable warmth, and when she looked out of the large picture window, she saw the perfect snowfall. She looked at Rashad and said,
"This is perfect. The only thing missing is Puffy, my old favorite cat."
No sooner had she said that than Puffy, a long-haired white cat, was lying on the carpeting in front of the fireplace. Luna squealed in delight, threw her arms around Rashad, and was surprised to feel him as a solid rather than a spiritual being. She started apologizing while leaning over to pick up and start petting Puffy. Rashad said there was no need to apologize. Any act of kindness, love, hugs, kisses, or other affectionate action was welcome in the transition realm. It was even expected. A concern would be voiced if none were forthcoming. Luna said with a certain amount of amazement in her thoughts,
"I'm beginning to understand. The transitional realm is a magical place where your thoughts create your desires. Why would you ever want to leave here? You told me we were to reside in a transition realm to contemplate our past lives and then leave to go to various obstructed realms like our Earth. We would do that to select and experience another life until we die once more. Is that right?"
Rashad answered,
"That is right. I brought you here to experience the reality of the transition realm because you will be taking on the role of a teacher of spiritual truth when we get back to Earth. It is what you decided you wanted when we were both here between reincarnations. And that started the activities we are having now."
"I think I now understand, Rashad. I also wanted to ask you another critical question. Both my mother and father passed several years ago. Would I be able to meet with them here while we are also here?"
"No, I am sorry, Luna. We can't accomplish that while you are touring here to experience a transition realm, but you cannot live within it until you exit another realm and are reborn into the transition realm. During our trip here, you are only seeing a light version of this transition realm, and we cannot stay here to meet with others here. It will make better sense when you end your current life and pass over to this one, but take my word that it would not be in your best interests to do that right now."
Rashad then paused, looked into Luna's eyes, and knew that she had absorbed what he was telling her, and although she was not pleased with the information, she would accept it because she trusted him. He said,
"Okay then, let's get back home. We have lots of work to get to."
And then she looked to see that they were still on the shallow surf waters, gently cascading onto the beach, rinsing their ankles and feet. She felt all the wonderful sensations that the water and air had to offer and felt happier and more carefree than ever. She asked Trishad if these feelings were to end. He told her they would when she ceased to focus on them, but when that happened was entirely up to her. She said,
I hope never, but I know this wisdom will come and go, as that is our nature. However, Rishad, you have answered my main life questions, and that is, life is about experiencing what life is all about, no matter where and how that life is experienced.
He smiled at her. They then joined hands and started a new stroll along the beachfront while discussing what experiences they would conjure up in this most beautiful obstructed universe. A unique experience, the stuff of humankind's life, and the goal of a soul's essence was beginning anew for Luna and Rishad.